Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us. This is Shell Broadnecks with Stager Talk. I am here today joined with professional real estate stager and professional business coach, Mary Ann Cherico. Mary Ann, thank you so much for being my guest today. How are you?
I am fabulous, and I am so happy to be here, Shell.
Well, we are glad to have you here as well. We're going to talk a little bit about today. You're going to be one of our instructors, our speakers, teachers at RESACON this year. And we chose you for a couple reasons. One, you're a business coach, which is fantastic. And two, you actually have experience in the home staging world and the industry. So you're going to be talking about, you know, your two worlds that have kind of come together. But can you let our listeners know a little bit about your background? What got you into the staging business?
Absolutely, I'd love to. Well, I have 27 years experience in real estate sales and marketing, and I started my staging business in 2005. And in New England, staging wasn't really big back then, and so I had to kind of find a way to connect with people that had been doing it for a while. And so what I did was I joined Active Rain, and I met a lot of you. I met you and Michelle Minch and Lori Kim and Kathy Lee and Kathy Burke and Sally Weatherly and all the fabulous stagers because you guys had been doing it a lot longer in California and in Canada. So I looked to you as role models for my business and, you know, how to build it. I had always thought, being a real estate agent, that it was kind of a no-brainer that, you know, presenting your home for sale was kind of marketing 101 with your biggest investment. So I always had that belief, but I didn't get a lot of support in this area. So I kind of formed my business model about the way that I thought that it would work in this area, which was getting real estate agents to promote me to their sellers. And the way that I did that was I said, if you offer your sellers this affordable staging report and consultation, I'm going to give them everything I possibly can. I'm not going to use that to pitch my services to them. I'm going to give them everything I possibly can, and it's going to make you guys look like the hero, because a lot of times the real estate agents would take the bullets. They didn't want to really hear what the clients, the clients didn't want to hear the things that they said about the condition of their home. They expected the real estate agent to kind of pull a rabbit out of a hat and sell their overpriced home that was in disrepair and really needed to step it up. And having somebody else come in and tell them that stuff and do it in a way that kind of educated them, took the bullets off of them, and it helped them be realistic about price and everything. So, you know, I explained to the realtors how it would really help them, and I slowly got their confidence about this because they were so afraid that, you know, what if their sellers were going to be insulted or, you know, it was such a new business concept here. So that's basically how I started. And I looked to, actually, this is interesting. When I was on Active Rain and I was trying to find mentors, there wasn't really anybody in this area. So I noticed that all of the people that I thought were rock stars were RESA members. And I'm like, what is this RESA? And I ended up connecting with a lot of fabulous women and men who were members of RESA. And that's what convinced me, because I thought that the highest caliber stagers were RESA members. And that's the honest-to-God truth.
Well, I love to hear that for sure. It's definitely something, you know, over the years when we started RESA back in 2007, we just wanted to bring unity. And, you know, let's get everybody together. If we want to take your industry seriously and you want others to take you seriously, you've got to be a legitimate industry. And with that, you have to have a trade association. And
yeah.
Simply put, I saw a need and I filled it. And And that's what the bottom line just comes down to. And now, you know, all these years later, it's we're not going anywhere. That's for sure. I mean, we're doing more and more every single year. So especially with the convention. So we're so glad that you are part of that. So the topic that you're going to talk about this year is called Three Game Changers to Grow Your Staging Business. Why did you choose this subject matter, and how are these game changers going to change the lives of everybody that's going to attend?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've been working with a coach for a couple of years, and I think it's really important. I think the number one game changer, well, I'm going to talk about the number one later, but what I think is a huge, huge game changer is mindset. And I think in order to grow your business, you really have to be willing to grow as a person. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to expand your way of being. And that comes from the inside out. It's actually the way you feel about things that is so important. Mindset, according to the dictionary, is a fixed mental attitude or disposition that sort of predetermines our responses to and interpretations of situations. And what I really want to make clear is that mindset is not reality. We think that something looks a certain way, and that's our reality, but it's really the lens through which we see things. It's kind of our default system. And Gay Hendricks talks about this in his book, The Big Leap. I don't know if you've had a chance to read that, but whoever hasn't read that book, it's really a great book. And he talks about this upper limit problem that we have, and it goes for building our businesses, our relationships, or how much love we allow into our life. I call it abundance in whatever way that it is that we look at it. You know, again, financial, career abundance, love abundance. But we create this upper limit by our limiting beliefs. And our limiting beliefs were created when we really didn't have a filter. Usually many of these beliefs were created when we were younger and we didn't know. Maybe, you know, our parents told us not to get too big for our britches. And then, you know, it kind of became ingrained in our neural pathways in our brain. And so that every time that we started to feel really good about ourselves, we did something to sabotage ourselves because feeling good about ourselves wasn't going to give us love or acceptance. And it's not rational. It's the way that we sabotage ourselves from our own power and magnificence. And, you know, when we work on mindset, it's kind of peeling away those layers because we all are magnificent. We all have the highest potential for our lives, but we limit ourselves. So, you know, when you look at how much money you're going to make, an upper limit problem is, maybe you have a belief somewhere subconsciously that if you make over $100,000, then you're going to be selfish like all the rich people you know. Maybe that's your belief. And maybe that's been ingrained through your culture somehow. And you don't even really know that you have this belief. But every time that you start to make a lot of money, you start sabotaging yourself or you start feeling bad about yourself. So what we have to do is break these glass ceilings, these upper limit problems, by really understanding ourselves on a much, much deeper level and, you know, defying these limiting beliefs that we have. And mindset is one way that we do that.
I think that's so important. And what you said also is people, you don't even realize that you have these mindsets a lot of the time. People think that they are stuck at a certain level and you can't get past it. I felt that way with my own business and things that I've done. And you have to really take a step back, and working with a coach, I think, is crucial. I think anybody who is doing really well in your own business, your personal life, we all work with somebody. I'm a business coach. You're a business coach. We work with people that we confide in and that we run things past, because we still are human. I mean, I can dole out the advice all day long, but every once in a while, do I need to follow my own advice? Yeah, I do. The good news is with myself, and I'm sure with yourself too, being a coach, is we just recognize it a lot sooner when you are stuck in a mindset. So I'm sure with yourself in your own business, you might hit something and it might just take you a day to figure, you know what, oh, this is what my problem is. And where somebody else who's not doing this, they will sit for months, weeks, and years even sometimes and not realizing that they're their own worst enemy and they're sabotaging every chance that they get. And the difference is that the successful people, you have two people. What makes the difference between Michael Jordan and a regular kid playing basketball, or a regular young college person? Why did Michael Jordan make it and somebody else didn't? Well, of course, there's talent, but talent only takes you so far. Michael Jordan was willing to do the work where other people weren't necessarily willing to do the work. And I see that all the time, even in the home staging industry. What sets people apart? The people that are really successful, they're the ones that are going to do the work, willing to do the work no matter what, and make what I call the power moves. What do you think
about
that?
Oh, I totally, totally agree. And I think one of the big things, Shell, is that people don't dream big enough, and they don't think that they're capable of what they're really capable of. And I think that people have to start expecting more from for themselves, and know that the universe will support that. But a lot of times people say that they want something, but they really don't believe it in their core that they can get it.
Right.
And part of it is, you know, sometimes taking that leap of faith and believing in yourself so much, because when it gets hard or when you start to doubt yourself, that's when your mindset is the most important, because, you know, there's no straight lines, and that's okay, but the belief in yourself is the most important thing, and I think often we give our power away, and we don't own it in the way that we need to. We need to take ownership of our magnificence and power and, you know, stop playing small and not believing that we're capable of so much magnificence in our life.
Yeah, I told somebody last night, I said, don't give someone else that much access to the power over your business. Somebody was talking about a competitor. We touched on this before the phone call today, and somebody was upset over a competitor doing something. And I was like, why are you even concerned about what they're doing? Focus on your goal. Don't worry about that. Don't give her access to your inner being, to your brain, to your mindset. That just distracts you and takes away from your focus.
That is so incredibly important. I mean, I see this in, you know, clients dealing with love relationships, with, you know, somebody else does this to them. That's victim mode. And you have to stop allowing other people's stuff to rent space in your head and heart. And because when you do that, you have to actually ask yourself, is this serving me for my highest good or not? So, you know, comparing yourself to others or being mad about what a competitor does, you can spend your energy doing that, or you can spend your energy on building your mindset, believing in yourself, taking inspired actions to grow your business. Because, you know, I always said growing up, you know, I don't want to compete with anybody. I just want to compete with myself. I don't want to look to what others are doing. Just, you know, how can I do what I'm doing better? Because that'll serve me better than worrying about what other people are doing. And even if they're doing something, let's say, worst case scenario, they're maliciously trying to do something to you. Don't let them win.
Right. It's so true.
You know?
If you just nailed it. This is like probably my favorite topic to talk about. It truly is. But it is one of those things. And I even know with myself, I'm a competitor. I'm a fierce competitor. I mean, I won't let my 6-year-old granddaughter beat me in a game. I'm just not going to do it. I mean, I'm going to teach her. No, you need to stand up and you need to win this game on your own. So, and she does, trust me, she's beat me on some things, but even with, you know, I compete a lot with horses. And when I started winning, And I did this to my first year, obviously, you know, I thought I was going to go out and win this buckle, and went to convention and talked, I'm going to go win this buckle. Well, I didn't have time to practice other than in my actual competition. So I was frustrated with the judges and what do they want and the competition. And there was people competing in my class that had 20 years experience. I'd been riding for a year. The moment that I stopped worrying about that and said, you know what, I'm just going to compete with myself and my horse, and I'm setting my own goals and my own agenda, and I just don't care about anything else, I won. I won everything this last year. I mean, I've got a whole wall full of stuff. I'm like, I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. But it worked.
You trusted your inner guidance. You totally trusted yourself. And that's so important.
And people need to do that with their business. Talk about this. Let me get your opinion on this. This is fascinating to me. When people start their business, as a business coach, I always recommend if you're starting out, you need to start your business out with what you want it to look like in 10 years. Why would you waste your time? So I see people saying, oh, I just won't get a website right now. I'll do a little templated website from GoDaddy or Squarespace or something along those lines. And it doesn't look great. And it's not SEO'd and it's not getting them anywhere. And in a year when I make more money, I'll redo it. So you're going to rebrand everything. You're going to wait that year. Then all those impressions that you've made for 12 months, you're going to have to overcome those a second time. So you've already made a first impression. Now those people have a first impression of you, and now you want them to reconsider you? It makes no sense to me. What do you think about when people are starting out their businesses? What mindset should they be in?
Oh, my gosh. This is something that is huge to me. I really believe that people have to invest in their business. That means time. That means money. And I think that you have to start thinking like a CEO. And I think, you know, this is where you have to take a leap of faith. And you have to say, I am committed to this business. I am going to have skin in the game. I'm going to learn what I have to learn in order, you know, to up-level myself. And, you know, whatever it is that you have to do, if you have to get more education, if you have to invest in a copywriter to help you write compelling copy to your ideal clients, it's so important. But, you know, one thing at a time. Start with, you know, making yourself look really professional at the beginning. You want people to see beautiful before and after pictures, whether they're your own house or a friend's house or something. You know, you could actually offer to do that for a realtor that you want to get their business and say, you know, I'd love to make over a room in your house. Do you mind if I take before and after? That's kind of a win-win. You build a relationship with the realtor and you take some great before and after pictures. I think it's really playing small when people don't invest in their business with time and money. And I think that as you want to keep growing, that it's ever more important. I mean, you can't get to a place where you say, if you want to keep growing your business, that you can't invest time and money.
Right. And I think the whole, you know, that go big or go home saying.
Yeah.
It's so true. I look at people, I'm like, why would you start a business and be the low price leader and want to be known for that, or be known as cheap or less than, or you don't have the amazing inventory, or take your photos with your iPhone instead of investing in a professional photographer? Go big or go home. Why would you want to be anything less than 100% stellar at your business? That's your calling card. And I see a lot of people doing extremely successful businesses, and those are their strategies. It's what I'm kind of talking about at RisaCon is strategies of successful stagers. And there is specific strategies. And I know you're going to talk about some of these things as well as at RisaCon. So when you're talking about thinking like a CEO, what does that mean to you?
Oh, I love this topic. Well, a CEO, this is the thing. A lot of women especially, and, you know, there's a lot of women in our business. I don't mean to exclude the men by any means, but just, you know, they have this worker bee mentality where they're doing all the, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's in the business. But a CEO has to be the visionary. The CEO has to look at the big picture. I firmly believe that it's really important when somebody's working on their business, whether they're beginning or in the middle of it, that they think about how this business is going to serve their lifestyle first and then structure their business around that. And by that, I don't mean, you know, you're going to take every single day off and blah, 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 blah. But I think it has to be all part of your big why, that, you know, how will this business serve your life? Because let's face it, your business and your life are intertwined. I think a CEO has a bigger meta view of how that will all happen. A CEO will understand that you need to leverage your time. You need to maybe farm out, like I have a VA for my coaching business, and I have her do my blog posts. I write them, but she posts them on social media and stuff like that. I have her help me with launches and things like that. If I did all of that stuff, then I wouldn't have enough time to really run my business, look at the bigger picture of where I want my business to go, do more writing and things like that. So a CEO leverages their time. They kind of figure out what they need to do to get their vision in their business and in their life to make that happen. Another really important thing that a CEO does, and I think this is a game changer, is they schedule time to work on their business instead of in their business.
Right.
And, you know, that just means, you know, instead of working in staging, they're developing systems. I know Christy was talking about systems. They're thinking of ways that they can, you know, maximize their time, leverage their time, you know, their financial goals. Maybe they're working on, you know, working with a bookkeeper on setting up all their financial stuff. They schedule time to work on their business and how they want to grow it instead of working in it and doing the actual job of staging. I mean, let's face it, when you stage a house, once you know how to stage and you're good at that, really, business is more about marketing than anything.
Right. It's such a small percentage. I think I probably talk quite a few people out of starting a staging business. And I'm glad that I do. And I think they are as well, because there's nothing worse than getting into something and you don't have the truth. And we want to tell people the truth about it. And while staging is fun, you have the typical person that comes into the industry is what? They like HGTV. They've either kids are now in school and they want to go back to work, or they've been in a long career that is not fulfilling and they want out. And so those are kind of the top game changers for people when they get into the industry. But what they think is, I'm great at staging. I have an eye for design. I think it's a lot of fun. And they want to get into that, which is great. But then it's very right brain, left brain. So they like the staging aspect part of it, but they don't realize that, you know, 80% of it is business and they don't have that acumen.
Yeah.
And it's very different. So great if you love to stage, but if nobody's going to hire you because you can't get this other stuff done first, then you're not going to be staging much.
Absolutely. And I think that anyone that goes into business for themselves, they really have to know that, you know, the thing that you love to do, that the reason you're drawn to this, is like you said, it's the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time you're going to be marketing your business. You're going to be, you know, meeting with realtors, you're going to be writing blog posts or whatever it is that you do to market your business. And 20% of the time you're going to be staging. And, you know, of that time, you know, there's also for your business model, what do you like to do the most? So you might be doing jobs that you don't like. We're going to talk about that as well. I mean, what's your ideal business model? There's so many different ways that you can create this as a stager and decorator.
Exactly. Yeah, you nailed it. And hiring others. I know you use a VA, which means virtual assistant, if anybody listening is not sure of our terminology there. When you hire somebody else, say you're in your business and you are doing every task, you're wearing all these hats, and there are things in your business that you are not great at, you don't like to do, you put them off because you don't want to do them and you don't like them. When you actually hire staff and you have people to come in, people's biggest fear is, how am I going to pay them? I can't afford it. I can't afford it. But I know you and I will both agree. I'd be shocked if you didn't agree with me. If they can just figure out a way to make it happen, the money comes, does it not? It's like all of a sudden you made a commitment to hire someone. All of a sudden you have no idea where it comes from, but money just starts landing on your doorstep and you'll be able to pay that person, which frees you up to go out and make more money.
Absolutely. And frankly, I would like to take it a step further and say you can't afford not to.
Right.
If you want to grow your business. I mean, you know, I pay my VA $35 an hour, but, you know, I bill out at over 100 an hour. So and that just means that, you know, and she's only doing some things for me. So no matter what, my money is actually with me meeting with clients. That's where my gold is. And, you know, as I start to do group programs and stuff like that, then I want to leverage my time. But you have to think of ways to leverage your time, reach more people. Even the fact is, you know, we all like the decorating and stuff like that, but at some point, actually setting up houses, you may not even want to do that. You might want to have your assistant do that, or destaging, you know, when you have to meet a furniture company and they give you this huge window of time. I mean, that is just a waste of your time when you could be doing other things that you actually have to think, what's the best use of my time financially? Like, what would a CEO say is the best use of my time right now? Maybe it's meeting with realtors and getting more business from them. Maybe it's, you know, putting yourself on Angie's List and having a great profile there, or connecting with people on LinkedIn or things like that, instead of spending a whole day destaging something. You really have to think smart. Instead of working hard, you have to kind of work smart.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's so crucial that people really figure out what is it that they're great at, where's their talent, and then pull in the other people. I know for myself, I love the staging industry. I think it's probably obvious how much I love this industry. However, I do not love, I'm not super passionate about going out and actually doing the staging. I don't want to move the sofa here or put the artwork there. That is not my passion. But if I was going to partner with somebody in the industry, I would find somebody who loved the staging, and I would do the sales and marketing and keep them so busy that that's all they would do. So I think it's important when, if you're going to act like a CEO in your business, as a CEO in your business, you may want to only do the staging. Great. Hire someone to do your sales and marketing and figure that out. If you're the opposite, like me, I would hire somebody to do the staging while I did the rest of it. So you just really got to figure out, you know, where, what's your own role within your company and what do you not like to do and what can you farm out?
Oh, I totally agree. And we're going to talk in my talk at RESA about, you know, choosing your ideal clients. And it's so important because, you know, my ideal clients are realtors, and I market to them, and everything I did was geared toward them, and I got repeat business from them. But, you know, some people like to work with investors, but the fact, so, you know, they would market mainly to the investors. But this is the cool thing that happens about that. When you start marketing to your ideal clients, you know, I still get jobs that are outside of them. I've done many model homes. I've worked with investors. I've done, you know, design jobs for a couple of the New England Patriots, and it's all because I marketed to realtors, and then they become my raving fans. So, you know, I'm going to talk about how, you know, choosing who you market to is so important, because if you market to everybody, you market to nobody, but know what business model you want to set up, and then all the rest is just kind of gravy.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You've got to get really get down to the specific marketing to attract that specific client that you want. It does no good to market high-end staging services to a demographic that cannot afford that. Let's talk about affordability as well. Let's talk a little bit about pricing in your business. Are you going to cover any of that in your talk at RESA?
Yeah. Yes, I definitely
am. It's so important.
Yep.
Oh, it's such an important thing. These low price leaders and underbidders, they're just killing me. They're killing themselves and shooting themselves in the foot with their business. Everybody's got to be competitive. Wouldn't you rather win a bid? If you were up against, you know, three other stagers in your area, wouldn't you rather win the bid based on your talent, how you got along with that client, as opposed to because you were the cheapest one?
Shell, I can't say enough about that. And this is the game changer that I really want people to understand. And I know that you'll agree with this because I know we've talked about this before. You cannot compete on price. If you start competing on price, you will be out of business. And believe me, I've had people that have, you know, undercut me. And usually, to be honest with you, I take it one step further. I don't want to go out on jobs anymore that they have six stages going out to look at it, because I know that it's all about price, no matter what they say, and promises of giving you tons of business in the future.
Right.
Is baloney. It's just smoke and mirrors. You have to compete on value. And I'm going to talk a lot about this at RESA, but, you know, what sets you apart? So what set me apart as a stager, and I don't mean to toot my own horn here, it's just to give people an example of how I competed on value. I knew how to talk to the realtors' clients. I would take the bullets for them. I would educate their clients. I'd spend the time with them. I would be a team player with the realtors and always have their back. I would tell people that the way that they price it is just as important without stepping on the toes of the realtors and ever venturing to give my opinion of the price, even though I was perfectly capable. My value was that I, you know, had these realtors' backs. I would educate their sellers about how great these realtors were to even offer this service to them. They'd become heroes in the seller's eyes. I'd tell them about how the picture of their house is the first showing, and it's the most important thing that they could do, especially the new model for real estate where everybody sees things online first. So what is my value? It's that I know how to handle their customers. I have their back. I make them look great. So that's one way that I, you know, pumped up my value to them. Your value might be that you're an amazing social media marketer, and you're going to tell these realtors or these customers that you're going to have their listings all over social media. You might tell them that, you know, whatever it is that sets you apart a little bit, maybe, you know, your before and after pictures. What makes you special? And you have to be willing to walk away from people that are just bottom feeders that really don't want to pay you for your value. You have to really believe that what you bring to the table and know that what you bring to the table will help them maximize the equity in their home. And that is, you know, 125% true.
Right. And let's talk about value a little bit, too, where you kind of touched on it, where an agent, you know, if an agent comes into their client, their seller, and they say, look, Marianne's coming to give you a consultation. Just do everything it is that she asks you to do. She's a rock star. She's amazing. And everything will be great. That's great for them to say that. But it's also great when you say that back to the seller about the agent. And I think a lot of people don't do that. So what sets you apart also is that now you're collaborating with that agent.
Absolutely.
Exactly. It's a collaborative teamwork effort. That agent probably has a title rep that they like to work with, a lender they like to work with. And now if you can be part of that staging team and they're presenting, you know, themselves as a whole package, this is the value they bring to the table. So if the stager can get the agent to understand their value, that value will be presented to those homeowners.
Oh, my gosh, Chell, that is so important. And coming from, you know, my real estate background, I know how realtors think, and I'm going to talk a lot about this. They think differently. And one of the things that's really important is, first of all, they don't get paid until they sell the house. And the last thing they want to do is aggravate their seller. But at the same time, they want their seller to, you know, present their home so that they can get them the most amount of money and sell it in a reasonable time. Because once it's on the market for a while, it gets stale. And then it ends up really creating worse of a problem because then nobody starts showing it. And, you know, the realtor wants to know that you have their back, that you are going to make them look good to the seller. They also, you know, offering the service of the staging report and consult tips the scale when realtors are competing for a listing. And, you know, that's another point you want to drive home with realtors because it will actually give them hero status if, you know, there's a level playing field where all the realtors are at the same kind of level. And this realtor says, look, I care so much about marketing your property that I'm actually going to hire a professional stager to come in and help you present this house in a way that is going to totally maximize your equity and really help you decide what's really important to do and what really isn't.
Right. Hey, let's take a phone call. Let's take a phone call. We've got a phone call waiting for us. Hi, caller. Are you on the line? Hello, can you hear us?
Yes. You know what? I'm just calling. I'm just turning in. I'm just coming in involved in your podcast.
Great. So what's your name and where are you calling from? And what's your question?
My name is Jill, and I am from San Diego, California, and I have a company called Romancing the Home.
Great. And what's your question, Jill?
Well, I am really looking to – my goal next year for 2016 is to hire more people, make more money, and work less.
Woo!
And I feel like that is really, really possible. I've been doing a lot of the work myself, and I don't advertise. I'm word of mouth, and I'm passionate about what I do. But I'm just thinking I could hire people and just bump it up a little bit. And I guess I just wanted to hear your podcast today to see how. I'm just curious about a lot of things that will assist me in doing that so I don't make mistakes.
Sure. So how long have you been in business, you said? For about a year, did you say?
No. My company has been since 2004, so I'm 11 years old.
11 years. Okay, great. So did you have
11 years.
Do you have a specific question or do you have a hang up or a move that you're wanting to make that you're not quite sure how to make it happen?
I think making that happen, that's a big change for me is to start hiring people and just me managing the projects. I've got well qualified people that could do this and they keep asking me and
so
I'm
what's
thinking
your
road, that's the
what's
best
your obstacle?
Thing.
What's your roadblock why you can't pull the trigger? What's holding you back?
I think it's just not getting over my head with expenses and making sure that if I do this, that these people are helping me, I will be able to pay them consistently. So it's like keeping that business rolling.
Great. So Marianne, you want to talk a little bit about that to Jill?
Yeah, I would love to. Jill, hi. I'm so happy that you're here.
Oh, thank you.
I think one of the things that you have to think about is that if you're going to grow your business, you have to really own, you have to take ownership, and you have to decide that you're going to invest in having, you know, people help you. And you can do it slowly. You don't have to, you know, eat the whole elephant, right? One bite at a time.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
The other thing is, I bet you could get some stagers who would do it freelance for you. I don't know if you have to make a commitment to, and it depends on the laws on your state. I know Massachusetts is kind of strict about this, but you may be able to hire people that freelance and do it. Sometimes stagers help each other, and I know there's a lot of stagers out in San Diego, and sometimes, you know, you can help each other and do it that way. I don't know that you have to make a full-time commitment, but I think you have to, and we're going to talk about this at the convention, you have to write down all the roles that you play in your business, every single little thing, and that goes for bookkeeper and blogger and, you know, social media expert, and who's meeting with the real estate agents or seeking out investors or going to meetings, who is doing the stagings, and every single thing that you do in your business. And then you have to say, what is it that I could farm out that I really, it's not important that I'm doing this right now, that somebody else could do this just as well if I trained them. And then start farming it out. And you know, you kind of have to take that leap of faith and just do it, and the money will come. And that's a mindset thing, because we're very, all of us, we're
I can promise you that the money comes. The money comes. I think that's the one people are afraid to pull the trigger.
Right.
Say that again.
That's it. I think that is what I'm afraid to pull the trigger, is that will the money come?
Pull the trigger, Jill.
Yeah, let me tell you, Jill, when I invested in my coaching practice, I was in a really bad financial situation. I'm anal about my credit and, you know, paying things and everything.
Right.
And at the time, my husband had lost hours at work. I had left my real estate job with my health insurance. In Massachusetts, health insurance is crazy. I was a wreck. But I invested thousands of dollars in getting a nice website done, a copywriter, marketing person at the beginning, and it was scared the life out of me. But I was working with a coach, and mindset was so huge. And, you know, it's hard for me to tell you all the things in this short podcast, but
trust me.
It's a limiting belief that you have, and you can do it. You really can.
Jill, what I'd like to see you do in the next week, in the next 3 days, sit down and write down everything it is that you do, and just one thing that you can farm out and pull the trigger and see what happens.
Okay.
Just take the challenge.
That is great advice. That is great
advice. Well, thanks for calling in, Jill. I appreciate it. Hope that answered your question.
I love what you do.
We all need
it out here. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Jill. Nice talking to you.
So that was great. I think this is, you know, one of the things we've already talked about. People are afraid to pull the trigger. And I am the same with you about my bills. I don't owe anybody. I pay my credit card off in full every month. And just the simplest things. I mean, I was kind of off topic business. I needed a new horse trailer. I grew out of my old one. I got a loan for $5,000 to do it. I sold my own one. My old one, $2,500. Half the bill was paid. So before it falls on you. And then, you know, you get a client or something comes in, and before you know it, it's paid off and taken care of. And people just really need to make that commitment. So if anybody's out there listening and you're on the fence, I think Mary and I both would like to make the challenge to you. In the next 3 days, or not even 3 days, two nights, sit down, write down everything it is that you do in your own business, and then start make a one column of what you want to do and a second column of what you don't want to do. And then after you've done that, on the column that you don't want to do, the things, the tasks that you don't like, that bog you down, that you're not great at, that you procrastinate at, start figuring out from that, what can you farm out and to who can you farm this out to? And then go make it happen. Give yourself a few days, write an ad, do whatever that you need to do, start interviewing people. You do not need to know right this second how you are going to pay that person. Just put the wheels in motion. Because once those wheels in motion, the universe will start taking care of you, will it not? And things will show up. And all of a sudden you'll say, oh, wait a minute. I can pay this person this. I can do this. Everything's going to line up to you. I don't know how it works. I can just promise you that it works.
So that is huge. That's it. Law of attraction and universal law. And this is, by the way, all based on quantum physics, scientifically proven. There's more and more evidence that literally our neural pathways and are formed from all these, you know, beliefs that we have. And oh my gosh, there's so much. I could just go on and on and on.
I've actually kept you 15 minutes longer. It's supposed to be 30 minutes, and we're going on 45 minutes. So thanks for staying and not hanging up on me.
Never.
Let's wrap it up here today. So we've got some learning objectives. Number one, if you take Marianne's class at RisaCon, the three top learning objectives are change your mindset so that you start playing a bigger game. Two, learn how to think like a CEO of your staging business so that you can make it more profitable and still do it your way. And three, you're going to learn the number one strategy to skyrocketing your profits. So for your class, Marianne, what level of stager? Is this for a newbie or a mid-range or advanced? Who is your perfect person to take this class?
You know, I know that this sounds pretty lame because I'm not making a commitment, but I really truly believe, because mindset, whenever you're up leveling, when you're starting, when you're, you know, like Jill, who wants to up level her business, mindset, thinking like a CEO, and my number one game changer, I think it's really for pretty much any level that just wants to really play a bigger game, because I'm all about playing a bigger game in your life.
I love it. Well, Marianne, thank you for joining us today. You are a professional business coach. And Marianne, if you'd like to speak with Marianne or hire Marianne, get a consultation, see how she can help change your business, her website is coachingbymarianne.com. And anything else that you want to say while we wrap it up?
Yeah, just that Marianne is Marianne. www.coachingbymarianne.com. And I just want to say that I have been a Risa member, 8 to 10 years, and I have gone to almost every single one of the conferences. I have made the most incredible colleagues and friends through Risa. I can't say enough about it, and I really, truly believe that anybody that can go to this convention will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I would agree. Every year we have something new to add, and it doesn't matter if you're a newbie or somebody who's been in the industry for 10 years, there's always something there for you. Now, Marianne's class is January 24th. It's on the Sunday at the 1:30 session, so it's the final day of the convention. And if you're on the fence about going to convention, you can hear some of our other convention speakers and class teachers through Stager Talk. So you go to blogtalkradio.com/StagerTalk. You can also visit risaconvention.com for a full list of convention, all the information, registration, speakers, dates, agenda, everything that you ever wanted to know. So thank you for joining us, and that's it, and look forward to speaking to you all again soon.
Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.